It is the 2024 baseball season fully underway, and I am here. My name is Jesse Rowe. I'm joined by my good friend Brandon Bullinger. We're going to talk all things baseball.
Hello.
But first, before we get into all of it, Brandon, thank you so much for joining me. It's a pleasure to be here with you. You're one of my
fired up, Jesse.
You're one of my better friends that I've ever met on the job. You know, I have friends from high school, but like in terms of people I've met on the job, you're one of the few that I have liked. So tell us a little bit about yourself and give yourself a little introduction here.
Oh, well, that was super kind. I love you to death, Jesse. We did meet on the job some 12 odd years ago, I think.
Yeah, I think it was 2012.
Back in our TMZ days, I remember asking you to go grab a beer over at Sushi Dan's.
That's what it was. Yeah.
And you're like, right. Whoa, no one's ever asked me to get a beer before after work. I'm like, this guy is lame, dude. Yeah.
Nobody at the company had ever asked me to get a beer before. People have asked me to get a beer before. I want to be clear about that.
Well, I don't know. Jury's out on that. But no, but it's been a beautiful friendship ever since. We have watched some serious baseball together. Not just baseball, but sports. We've covered a ton of sports stories and events over the years, on and off the clock. But one of them stands out to me vividly, Jesse. And I don't know if I know you know what I'm talking about. I'll set the scene. It's 2014. We are at a little bar on 3rd Street in West Hollywood called Goal.
Of course.
And we are watching a dominant performance by Clayton Kershaw and the 2014 Dodgers team against
in St. Louis, right? We were down in the series, or no, it was 1-1 or 2-1 Cardinals. I forget, but we were in St. Louis.
Yeah. We were cruising in the 7th. I remember what booth we were sitting at, dude. And
I know.
A certain ball goes over a wall, and
a certain Fat Adams hit a
I just remember us kind of shaking hands right there and just leaving and going separate ways. And just like,
no, we were done.
It was devastated. So yeah, I know Dodger haters rejoice. There's plenty of postseason heartbreak to get your Schadenfreude on. However, it is a new season. Hopes are high for everyone. Shouts out, you know, a couple of small market teams for signing guys long-term, some big deals, some weird maybe collusions out there. I think we might talk about. But there's been some super interesting storylines building up in just the preseason. From potentially shady interpreters to, you know, agents being conspired against and their players. You know, there's a lot of hoopla, I would say, Jesse, but a lot of excitement too.
And before we get into it, like, obviously maybe some people heard, like, wait, did they say TMZ? Yes, we did work at TMZ, but we also covered some of the bigger stories. I don't, did you cover Frank McCourt's divorce? I covered that. I don't know, that might have been before your time. When that was going on, I remember I interviewed Frank McCourt and Jamie McCourt, like when they were going through a divorce, when the Dodgers were for sale. So we covered that for TMZ. I covered the Ray Rice story for TMZ. But in terms of baseball stories, I think Frank McCourt was like the biggest one that I ever covered.
I think my biggest story that I covered, I was actually lead camera on it the weekend we were running it. Shout out Ryan Satin, dude, on Saturdays. But was the Donald Sterling story.
Oh, yeah.
That was a wild one.
Didn't you also get Charlie Sheen talking about the Cincinnati Reds, if I remember
correctly? Diehard Reds fan. Yeah, we were at the courthouse in downtown. We ended up smoking a couple cigarettes and talking about the Reds. I don't smoke anymore, but
I hope you didn't share it with him.
I did not. But we did kiss later. I'm kidding. It's a lie. I'm lying for attention on that. That's not real. I'm lying.
Well, either way, I'm thrilled to be chatting with you because you're one of the few people in the world I really like talking ball with. So I think we should just get into it here. We've gotten a few games out of the way already, unfortunately. So opening day has come and gone. We got our first few games before we get into our predictions and our how we feel, just like our storylines for the year. What have you thought about the first couple of days so far? Is it baseball back? Is it boring? Is it electrifying? As the great, as Dwayne The Rock Johnson says, is it electrifying?
You know it, dude. And first of all, don't get me started with Dwayne, dude.
I know that you're a WWE guy, so I had to throw that in there.
Still real to me, damn it.
Yeah.
Nah, but
I've been into WWE, by the way. I've been paying attention.
It's fantastic, dude. I went to WrestleMania last year with my wife. It was great, dude.
No, WWE is back, dude. It's super back right now. Yeah.
Just like big time rivalries are back.
Yeah.
Phillies, Braves, I think, is the hottest rivalry in sports right now, not just baseball, but sports. But not to be outdone, a new Mets Brewers rivalry.
Oh, God.
Who saw that? I didn't have it on my bingo card.
Yeah, let's get into that. Let's do that really quick because I want to go back to Mets. I want to go back to Phillies Braves, but Rhys Hoskins obviously threw a little bit of a late slide yesterday into Jeff McNeil, and then he. When he slid through, McNeil took a exception to it, led to a little fake benches clearing situation, you know, hold me back, no, hold me back, all that stuff. But it led to some pretty good meme-worthy material of Hoskins doing the crybaby face. That was awesome. I'm curious because it also happened. This is not as big, has not been publicized. There was a late slide in the Dodger game. Contreras almost took out Mookie Betts at second base. Yeah. Slid really late, and luckily Mookie beat him by like a half step to the bag, so it didn't end up being a thing. But if you notice, if you watch that video, Gavin Lux, as he's walking by, like kind of looks back at Contreras like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, to me personally, that slide was like way dirtier than the Rhys Hoskins slide. It just didn't lead to an actual collision. The slide that Contreras did was literally like on the bag. He literally slid at the bag. Hoskins slid like 2 feet before the bag, so I don't know. But yes, by the way, Hoskins, his first two at-bats today, he got booed in his first couple of plate appearances. Two-run single in his first at-bat, and then he fucking homers. Smokes one in his next at-bat. Silences the crowd. That's how you do it.
I love when hate feeds a player, and it just gives them strength, and you can feel it just oozing. Oh, man. I loved Hoskins signing with the Brewers in the offseason.
It's a great signing.
Love it. I think he's such a talented player. Yeah, man, that was just kind of some of that Philly swag just rubbing off, you know. I think Milwaukee needed that a lot. And in a year where a lot of people are already kind of like signing them off, you know, Craig Council leaves, you know, Burns is gone, Devin Williams dealing with injury. You know, there's a lot
they need a little bit
about
of that
in Milwaukee.
They need a little bit of that. Fuck you.
Oh, yeah, you know, against one of those checkbook baseball teams, you know, those Midwest farmer guys, you know. Milwaukee,
the number one payroll in
the
baseball.
It's crazy that the Mets are that expensive. But I get it. If you're Jeff McNeil, it's kind of a different era, right? This isn't 2015 Chase Utley going into second base, you know.
Speaking of, by the way, this is the same shit happened with Utley at Met Stadium. He was getting booed the next year after he took out Ruben Tejada. The next year,
yeah,
when he goes into the Mets, when he goes into Shea or Citi Field, and they threw at him. They threw it at Chase Utley. What does he end up doing? He ends up hitting like two homers in that game. In that game, like hitting a grand slam too. The Mets have bad luck with this. People sliding into second base and then the fans going after the player. That's like the ultimate motivation. The Mets fans need to just stay silent when these guys go to the plate. Act totally indifferent to it, because apparently it's just fuel. It just fuels their fucking fire.
I mean, Jesse, some people might say that the Mets are the current cursed franchise in MLB. There are baseball gods, whether you believe in them or not. They exist, and they see all, they hear all. I don't know what happened in Mets land where they've been cursed so much. But I'm really rooting for a good season from the New York Mets. They got a lot of talent.
They're not going to have one. They're fucked.
But I mean, I'm a believer that
they're trading Alonso at the deadline. Like, let's be real. Yeah.
That hurts to hear.
I mean, I think they are.
Is he going to get colluded? He's a Boris guy.
He is a Boris guy. So, by the way, speaking of the Mets curse, A good buddy of mine that works with me on Inside Fighting, Timmy Shoes, is a huge Mets fan. I do the Fight Season podcast with him. He's already said that he's willing to come on and talk about it and vent his frustrations about the Mets. So we will be having him on at some point to talk about it, because he is a diehard Mets fan. And he just is. I texted him yesterday, Frank the Tank video from Barstool Sports of him like getting upset. And he's like, dude, that's the worst fucking sports fan in America. Because he hates that he's like the fan representative. It's like the Dodgers have like Bryan Cranston, the Yankees have like Billy Crystal, the Mets have Frank the Tank.
Yeah, there's like levels to it. It's a bummer. Yeah. That's a bummer.
They obviously have real fans, but it's still funny.
Yeah, no, it's funny. I wish somebody would put this together, but like a star map for every team, like who is like the biggest diehard fan of like all 30 teams, and like
we could do that. We could rank celebrity baseball fans.
I think we should do that. I don't know who I guess just off the top of the head, I think Lois would have to be, I don't know, probably who? Oakland, right? Oakland probably.
Oh yeah, I thought you were naming somebody named Lois for some reason.
Oh no,
no Lois. Sorry. Yeah, Oakland for sure. I would have
just.
I
don't think I've ever heard of a famous person outside of like athletes.
No, like, and it's like it would like Marshawn Lynch, you know, representing.
That's pretty
Oakland.
Good. That's
but they're
pretty
gonna
good.
Go to Vegas, and then it's like, you know,
I don't want them to go to Vegas. See, that's another great storyline for the year. It doesn't it feel like this like wicked witch of the west type big rich owner, maybe a little, you know, nepotism, I don't know, maybe you didn't earn $1 billion yourself, you shouldn't be called a billionaire, I don't know. Anyways, keep the A's in Oakland. That's a storyline.
If you are gonna go, I think they should change the colors. I just think it would be wrong mm-hmm. to be those colors in Vegas. It just wouldn't make any mm-hmm. sense to me. Let's get back to the Braves, because I want to get to storylines. Braves, Phillies, really quick little recap. I thought that the Phillies just fucking had the Braves number. When Brandon Marsh homered off of Strider, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, they just have it. Like the Phillies fans were like chanting Strider's name, and they were going crazy. They go up 2-0. And I was like, oh, this is my Cy Young pick for the NL. And he just got hit by the Phillies. Like, they just got the Braves number, and then the Braves just braved around and put up 9 runs.
And the Phillies fans
went from going crazy to booing the bullpen. The number one bullpen, according to FanGraphs, is the Phillies. And they got shelled. They got absolutely shelled in that game.
Man, I don't got any numbers in front of me, but I wish I could pull them up. I want to see the stat line. Who did what? I saw Olsen had what? Was it 3 doubles that game?
Yeah, that's something like that. He had an incredible game. I'll tell you right now. I have the scores up, but yeah, I mean, it's the Braves. Like, I think you mentioned that you think they're like the best rivalry in sports right now.
I think so.
You know, I would tend to agree, only because I don't think that the Giants have to be good this year for it to supersede it. But just because it's the quality of competition, the Phillies have beat them the past 2 years. I can get down with that. I can get down with it.
Yeah. And that's no disrespect. You know, I'm diehard Dodger guy right here. I think that the Dodgers Giants is one of the most storied rivalries in baseball. You know, but I can also make an argument for like Dodgers Cardinals, what have you. It's neither here nor it is there. But in terms of just like relevancy and like heat, just like heat, Braves Phillies is just, it's up there. I don't know, but maybe it's Diamondbacks Phillies. Maybe that's the new rivalry. We haven't seen them play each other yet this year, but
the snakes will
bite you, dude.
Calm
I know.
Down. Oh, yeah. Speaking of which, they put up like a 14-run inning against the Rockies. Nice of the Rockies to show up to the 2024 baseball season. My Lord. It's going to be a long year for that team.
Colorado, dude. My heart goes out, but at least you have great legal cannabis, and that's a lot more than a lot of these other teams got, you know, in their
state, the fans are taking advantage of it if they have to watch those games. Olsen 3-for-5 with 3 doubles, 3 RBIs, run scored. Yeah, big game. But yeah, for the bullpen, it was bad. Matt Strom.
Who they got in that bullpen off the top?
Huh?
Who's in the Phillies bullpen this year?
I'm going to name it off. Matt Strom went an inning, went one third of an inning, gave up 2 runs. Jose Alvarado, 2/3 of an inning, gave up 5 runs. Brogdon went one third of an inning, gave up two runs. I mean, it's pretty bad. Pretty bad. It's supposed to be the number one base bullpen in baseball. I'm sure they will turn it around, but not a good start for the Phillies. All right. Let's move on because we are going to be a little low on time here. Let's give our little, instead of doing predictions, let's just do our storylines and what to watch for this year. What is your number
Okay.
one storyline for the
Man.
2024 Major League season?
I mean, it's got to be Shohei to the Dodgers, right? I'm sorry. This drum's been beaten to death, but it's got to be, right? Dodgers were famously super aggressive when he was first coming into the league. Didn't work out, no DH at the time. But aside from that, generational talent, modern day Babe Ruth. Let's see how he does as just a pure DH. Is he going to light the world on fire? Is there going to be, I don't know, maybe a cloudy head for the first time in his career because of all the Ipe drama? It's yet to be seen, but it feels like there's a really good mix. Mookie is just kicking off the season from, doesn't matter which side of the Pacific he's on, gets mashing right now. And it seems like we're seeing the evolution in the character that is Mookie Betts, right? It's like we're seeing this like next level. Can he do it in the playoffs? It's been the big
That's
gripe.
the big key here because the Dodgers seem like a shoe-in for the playoffs. So with Mookie and Freddie, it was 1-for-20. They're off to an incredible start. I think what Mookie has done in the first four games, I think he needs to have a playoff series like that
Totally.
for the Dodgers to like really just go on a run. Because obviously they're good enough to win a seven-game series, but I think that it's these small sample size series, the five-game series that have given them trouble the past couple of years. Where the volatility of baseball is there, right? Where anything can happen. Mookie needs to have a series like that the way he started the season, and I think the Dodgers will be able to like come out of the seven game series just fine. That's the key. Can they get past the first round? That's been the problem for the Dodgers. Three out of the last like 5 years or whatever it is, they've had trouble getting out of that first round against teams that they were favored against. So that's a big thing. I want to get back to because I agree it's Shohei is the story. What do you think happened? I'm just curious. What do you think happened with the interpreter? As quickly as possible, what do you think happened with Ipe? Because I have a theory and I want to just sort of get your take really quick before I move on.
I think that just to put it as simple as possible, man, I think greed is something that we're warned about as kids, right? And put into these very simple stories. But when opportunity arises to take more than your share, I think it is human nature to do so. I think where there is a will, there is a way. And if you have a little, I don't want to, I no. Ipe said he has a gambling problem, right? So if you have a gambling problem and you're kind of in over your head, maybe you have a little bit of a junkie's mentality. Like this next hit will be the one that gets me clear, And
That's
I
what
can
I think it is.
appreciate from that desperation
Yeah.
that things can snowball and get out of hand.
Let me, yeah, and I agree. And I think so, just in terms of people obviously know this story, so I don't have to like rehash it all. But
Of course.
the big questions that need to be asked, right, need to be asked and answered at this point is Shohei has basically said he's laid the blame all on Ipe. So what, but they have not revealed when asked what law enforcement agency or what method of investigation they have they filed a police report? Have they, what investigative body have they contacted to investigate this, to file for a crime? They have not revealed that information yet, which is scary if you're a Dodger fan, because it's like, hey, why haven't you filed a police report yet if what you're saying is true? But they might not want that information out there yet. They might be taking their time. What were you going to say?
To your point,
Yeah.
speaking about, we're going to bring law enforcement into this, right? So we have this guy, this biggest name in sports. Something's amiss, and it's come up, right? Like his attorneys, everybody, his bankers, whatever, is on it now. I've had a legal person tell me this before when dealing with a legal matter. Basically, do you want the fastest outcome or do you want the most ideal outcome?
Right.
And I think sometimes the best thing you can do, unfortunately for us, who are so hungry to be, are just, there's a need to be satiated, right? There's gaps in information, and I'm not gonna lie, there's it's not a perfectly clear thing. And like the fact of the matter that he's kept a lot of like personal details out of public eyes isn't a red flag to me. You know what I mean? I don't think, oh, we didn't know about his wife. Like maybe we didn't know about his gambling addiction. I don't kind of
Yeah, that's
think that
irrelevant to
it
me.
correlates. You know, like we've heard about him being on like an allowance, right? So I don't think that it's like unfathomable to think about that there is like a US savings account for when he's out here and da da da, that, you know, a trusted source, like maybe like your translator is doing a
Dude,
lot of the transactions. You know what I mean? Like,
I
again,
think I
if we're
know
talking
exactly what happened.
storylines,
I think I know exactly what happened. I think
let
that
me
he
hear it,
came over to the
Popeyes.
States with Ipe. I think he has multiple bank accounts, and I think he has his financial advisors monitor some of them because that's what rich people do. They have like a checking account that for their personal like just money, and then they have like multiple accounts, and those are the ones that their financial advisors monitor the most. It's because those are the ones that have like investment portfolios attached to it, that have like growth models attached to it, all sorts of shit. Whereas like Ipe was there every Ipe is his English speaking representative everywhere he goes as an American citizen. Shohei is they're showing him bank information. Like you have to put your social security or whatever that is in Japan. You have to put your information there. He doesn't know how to read it.
Yeah.
So who has to help him? It has
It's
to
a
be the
different
translator,
language.
and the translator has to say, oh, and it says right here that you have to create a PIN for when you want to release a certain amount of money. You have to create a keyword or whatever it is when you want to, transfer a certain amount of money. So
How
that's what
many
he did.
Wells Fargo bank tellers are freaking fluent in Japanese? Not saying
Ipe
he's not
was
Wells
there
Fargo,
for
but I'm just
every
saying.
single thing that Shohei set up at bank in terms of bank accounts, and I think that Ipe had access to the account. I think that Ipe was probably one of the people on his bank accounts that was like almost like a co-signer, where it's like you have access to the money. He was like a personal assistant to Shohei, who's like basically like
Totally.
helping with all this stuff. So I think Ipe's doing this gambling, starts off small with his own money, and then it's like, hey, like I can make a bigger bet because I have access to this bank account. And I think, and
Jesse,
it's just, and then
can I
you
make an analogy? Can I
And then it
make a
just
little
gets out, like you said, it's like
analogy?
drugs. It just gets out of control. And like it gets to a point
Totally.
where like the guy, the bookie guy knows that this translator works with Shohei and is like, and Ipe probably was like, yeah, Shohei's backing me. They're cool with it. Like I can place it. I can deposit some money right now. And like
Yeah.
just to prove it. And it's like then they see
I can
Shohei's
call
name
you
on
from
it.
his number, dude. Like, I can get you that name to pop up on your, you know, whatever.
And then who's the person that makes the statement to ESPN on behalf of Shohei? It was Ipe. So it's
Man.
like, so Ipe, I think, had a fucking moment of crisis where he's there and he's like, oh shit, the walls are closing in on me. The feds are involved. The Dodgers are about to find out. Shohei's about to find out. So if he knows that if he goes to the Dodgers and says, hey guys, they're going to want us to make a statement about this, they're going to fucking cut Ipe loose and they're going to say, you fucking stole because he knows that he committed
Yeah,
a
dude.
crime. So what he did is he preempted all of it and made his own fucking statement. That's what I think happened. And then that's why the Dodgers were like, whoa, this is actually bullshit because he was hoping that Shohei would be his boy and go along with it and save his fucking ass.
Wow,
That's what I think
that
happened.
is.
It was his last move, dude. It was his last. He had one move left. He had one bullet left in the chamber, and that was it. That's what I think happened. So if that's not what happened, I will admit I'm wrong. But just based on all the information I've seen, I don't think Shohei would go publicly say that I was like a crime was committed against me by my best friend, unless there was serious like proof to back it up. Because Ipe would have the best fucking defamation case of all time
Let
if
me
that
ask
was
you
the
this real
case.
quick.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this real quick, just to interject. Over under, I don't know what the number is right now off the top of my head. Over under, does Shohei hit more or less home runs than he did last season with all this scandal in his career?
I
Right
think
now. This, or
Shohei was
excuse me, I mean
trying.
his biggest thing.
I think Shohei's been trying way too hard to hit homers his first couple of games at
We've
Dodger
seen, and
Stadium.
we've seen some base running errors in Korea
He's
and out
trying
of
really hard. He needs to calm
state.
down a little bit. And I think that, like, because he's going to have a season where he's just focused on hitting, I'm taking the way over, dude. I think
I
that,
like
like,
that.
he's going to fucking just be, give it like a month, get used to the boos, get used to being hated for the first time in your career.
Yeah.
He was going to get booed anyway, dude.
Yeah.
It's like, just get into the flow of the season. It might take him a few weeks. And then I think he's just going to go off. And I think that he's going to have a monster year because he just focuses on hitting this year. He's not like doing his throwing program is just catch like an outfielder. So it's like,
yeah,
I think he's going to be fine. And
so
I think the Dodgers are going to be totally fine too.
I agree.
Yeah.
Switching up, let's go to the AL real quick. Speaking of leaning into the booze, right? Joining the evil empire, Juan Soto and the Yankees now.
That's my storyline for the year, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about it. Starting off the season the right way, right? Gunning out, you know, getting that outfield assist.
I don't think it could have started any better for Yankee fans in terms of like Juan Soto endearing himself to New York.
And Jesse, can I be honest? Can I be honest? I don't know if anybody says this often outside of like maybe the New York area, but the Yankees needed a win, and not just like on like paper, not like a win in the series, but just with Cole going down. And
yeah,
the kind of up in the air. A lot of fans were hoping that maybe Snell was in the cards or a Monty, and just kind of getting that reinforcement. You know, it's cool to see Soto on the big stage. You know,
he looks good
do
in that
his
uniform.
Thing.
I got to admit,
and the uniforms look terrible this year, but he looks good.
Yeah,
dude.
I have the Yankees missing the playoffs, but I do have that as a major storyline because. It really comes down to Carlos Rodon, what the Yankees are going to get from him, because they need him to be like 2021. Carlos Rodon on the Giants just like was shoving, was like a Cy Young candidate. He has not been. He really labored against the Astros yesterday. Got through it, four innings, one run or something like that. He really labored. But I think that the key is going to be like, what can that rotation do until Cole comes back? And can you convince Juan Soto to stay? Because I'm worried that the Yankees aren't going to make the playoffs. They need to they need to do enough this season to be competitive without Gerrit Cole to convince Juan Soto to stay long term. Because all signs point to Juan Soto leaving the Yankees and signing with the Mets, and that's the problem. Is like the Mets probably have more money to offer him, you know?
Yeah.
So
because I think it's going to take an offer bigger than the Nationals got, just on principle, right? For a Soto to accept. And I don't know how much over it's going to be.
I think it's going to be like a 14-year deal, something like that.
Something like that. Because how old is he going to be?
He's going to be 25, 26 when he signs the contract. So, he's so young. Like, you're getting his prime, like, 8 years, 9 years of his prime. You got to pay him for, like...
And he's a killer, dude. I mean, getting,
awesome.
Like, you know, I didn't love seeing him in a Padres uniform. But that was an exciting lineup. I enjoyed seeing it, you know, just as a fan of baseball, Tatis and Machado and freaking Soto. Like, that's like an all-timer, right? Like, I'll play that in the show all day, you know, give me that three. But, you know, it didn't work out the way, you know, San Diego fans hoped. But, you know, we'll see if he's that difference maker for the Yanks. I don't know. It is cool getting to see him line up next to Aaron Judge and my boy Doogie out there having a big game. I love me some Alex Verdugo. Always been high on him. That arm is insane.
Yeah.
And I know it's been a little, I don't know. I don't have his stats in front of me, but I bet they're better than people think, you know, but I know he didn't get the love he was expecting in Boston. Tough trade to be a part of, but
it's weird seeing him without the beard and the, he's so, I don't know. It's just weird. You have him and you have Soto and Stroman on the Yankees. Like, George Steinbrenner is probably rolling in his grave right now just seeing these guys on the team. I mean, they look good. It looks good to me. But you know, the thing about Soto going to the Yankees, it's funny because it feels just like a summer fling a little bit. You know, when like you break up with like a girl you were dating a couple of years and you're like, I'm going to do a summer fling. Oh, she's hot. Mm. She's fun. But really, you know that you're just looking for a girl to settle down with.
Wow.
And that's like he's going to leave the hot, dumb chick like the Yankees, the 10 throughout high school. And he's going to go date the fucking girl that, you know, went and got her degree in college. And she's mom material. That's the Mets.
Yep.
That's my prediction.
Man. So, give me a little small market storyline that you're monitoring right now that you think is a good one. You know, maybe is it Bobby Witt? Is it, you know, Seattle, kind of holding pat this offseason, some fans feel.
What do you think?
You know, maybe it's the Twins. I don't know. Talk to me. What's going on?
I'm trying to think of what moves the team's made. I mean, obviously, like, the Royals did a lot. I really like I'm a huge
Juan
fan
Soto
of
to the Royals. I agree.
Yeah. No, I'm a huge
That would be
fan.
sick, though.
Yeah.
Soto to the Royals.
I'm a
That'd
huge
be sick.
It would. I'm willing to bet the under on that.
Let it ride, dude.
Skubal looked awesome for the Tigers, Tarik Skubal, and he's my American League Cy Young sleeper. And I really like what Casey Mize was a number one overall pick for the Tigers. He looks damn good in spring. If he could be what they envisioned Skubal and Mize to be like 3 or 4 years ago, that's a team that I think could actually be pretty solid this year. I just looked. Kenta Maeda, in his Tigers debut, gave up 2 home runs to Luis Robert. He got shelled, which sucks.
What was his final line?
I don't have it in front of me, but I looked a second ago because I got a fantasy notification. But I think that's a team that I want to see, like, really make a move at the deadline. If it's 6-4 White Sox, and
wow,
the White Sox lineup is not good, not good at all. Kenta, 3 innings, 3 1/3, 6 earned runs.
Did he have an arm injury in the last couple of years? I remember he finished somewhere high in Cy Young votes. Was it like 2021 maybe?
Yeah, that's it was the Twins. Yes, I think it was 2020 or 2021. It might have been the COVID season that he was a Cy Young candidate. When Bieber won. I think it was when Bieber won. But yeah, so that's a team. I think the Tigers need to trade some prospects if their pitchers are good. If Mize is good and Skubal looks damn good, if their pitchers are good, I think they should trade for a bat, compete for a wild card. That's a team that I would like to see take the next step. And I think Javi Baez needs to retire from Major League Baseball. So yeah, I fucking
Javier,
I used
my
to
boy.
Love him. I don't think
Dude.
that guy is like the reverse Anthony Rendon. He loves baseball, but just like doesn't try to play it.
Speaking of Rendon, leading off the Angels this year with the first error.
That's
oh
terrible.
man, I mean,
let's
the
do we'll do an
Angels are
Angels
already
episode. We'll do an Angels episode.
How much time you got?
Yeah.
The Angels, dude.
Mike Trout.
Man.
That's a storyline to watch. There you go. That's the storyline to watch this year for the Angels. Will Mike Trout be traded? I think that he needs to demand a trade at some point this year.
I think that's even the storyline, right? Does he demand the trade?
Yeah. Right. Why is he being so loyal?
What does Artie
Phillies,
Moreno
man.
have
if,
on him?
see
What
if
does
they'll
Artie
trade.
have on him?
Yeah. Right. See if they'll trade like Bryson Stott or something. You know what I mean? Like, see what you can get for go to the Phillies. You know, go home, play with Bryce. That outfield would be crazy if you could do that. All right. I want to move on to this really quick because I think we've run a little long here. This is the fun end of the episode. You brought up an article to me that I wanted to just go over really quick. This is for the baseball and music enthusiasts out there. A Spin magazine did an article, speaking of the Angels, because you brought it up. So who was it that talked about the Angels in this Spin
Riley
magazine article?
Breckenridge, the drummer of Thrice, a post-hardcore band out of Irvine, California.
Okay. So 102
amazing.
Musicians predict the 2024 baseball season. You have Ben Gibbard from Death Cab, big Mariners fan. You have Mike McCready from Pearl Jam, big Mariner. A lot of people from Seattle, musicians from Seattle. The Black Keys going for the Guardians. But go ahead, talk a bit about it.
Oh, man, I thought it was just so well written. I don't have it in front of me, but some of the highlights that really just stood out to me, it just was like, man, you could tell this guy has followed this club for a long time. And he's just seen the neglect that ownership has just given to their farm system to I guess, like drafting any pitcher. They needed starting pitching. You know, it's a meme in and of itself now. And, you know, losing Ohtani and kind of just not giving Trout the team he needs to be, you know, this superstar on the next level. You know, there's been a lot of criticism for stars like, you know, Freeman or Betts for, you know, disappearing in the playoffs. But we have this generational talent that's got, I think, 3 career playoff games under his belt a decade ago.
They went 0-3.
It's disgusting, dude. It makes me sick. But yeah, I highly encourage everybody to go check out that article. But
so I have it right here. So Riley Brackenridge from Thrice did a little Q&A. So they ask him, "What's your prognosis for the season?" He says the Angels were predictably a complete train wreck last season. They haven't made the playoffs since 2014. Haven't had a winning season in 9 years. Haven't had a decent minor league system in over a decade. Haven't made a good trade or free agent signing in ages. I don't see any reason to expect anything more than them being a shit show until things fundamentally change in Anaheim. I believe fandom is optional. You don't have to cheer for a team just because you were raised to, or just because they're local sports team, or just because your favorite players used to wear their laundry. I also believe that things that make you feel shitty are probably shitty, and you should probably not do the things that make you feel shitty. Watching the Angels makes me feel shitty, sad, angry, confused, so I'm not going to do that anymore. Oh, my God. There's so much more. I'll put a link in the description of the YouTube video, but my Lord, this is his favorite player to watch this year is Logan Ohapi, which I agree with, the catcher for the Angels. He's awesome.
Super exciting.
I love
that
dude.
Pop.
Yeah. I like that guy a lot. So I think if they can make some moves, you have that guy as your franchise catcher, just like the Dodgers have Will Smith signing him to a 10-year $140 million deal, but
big Willie style, baby. Just to put the last thing on the Angels, look, it's a lot of fun to be a Dodger fan these days, and it's even more fun to hate on them. But man, that McCourt era was tough. Those 90s era Dodgers were some tough teams. So I really can empathize with, like, oh my God, like, I just see all of our best players get traded to other teams and become legends on other teams.
Look at the Orioles, who were the worst team, one of the worst teams in history just like a few years ago. And they have a new ownership group buying beers to the fans, and they look good, dude. They look like they could win the World Series.
Corbin Burns, my AL Cy Young pick, dude.
Angels, it's very simple. Angel fans, if you stuck around to the end of this episode to watch it, they just
our heart
once already sells the team, there is hope at the end of the tunnel. I promise you, there is a light. It's just that dude's got to go. That dude has to go.
And the first step is getting him out of baseball. There are some bad managers, owners, really bad owners in baseball right now that are blatantly just putting profit over any product on the field. Like, I see memes already about, there's only 3,000 fans in Oakland, but more if they're AAA affiliate. Well, dude, what effort has ownership put in to putting a product on the field that anybody wants to see? At the end of the day, this is entertainment, and you have to battle against every other form of entertainment that can steal your eyes away from the baseball game on the field or getting people in the stands. I love baseball, and I want to see it continue to grow. But when you're putting a stagnant, decrepit, just this nasty product on the field, and I'm not talking about the players. I think it's like you look around the league, and some of the best players in the game are former Oakland A's. That's why I'm so frustrated. They have an amazing developmental staff, and that's all from, like, the blood, sweat, tears, and dedication of their staffers that are, again, getting no support from their ownership. And I don't know why the league doesn't do anything. It's sick. It makes me, like, angry. They need to stay in Oakland. Develop your players. Keep them in freaking Oakland. And give your fans something to show up and take pride in. Like, we're not that many years removed from, like, a rocking freaking atmosphere in Oakland. And, you know, even a little further back in Anaheim, you know, Rally Towel, or what was the Rally Monkeys and all that stupid crap. I mean, it's just insane how these owners get away with just, like, making whatever amount of profit they want and not helping their players who are making them money, you know, stay and become household names. Instead, trade them off, we'll get a new crop of prospects, pay them league minimum, and, you know, the beat goes on.
And I would dispute in terms of the Angels in case in that regard, whether or not they are prioritizing profit. Because I've read some articles about how like little they've done to market Trout and Ohtani in the time that they were there. That's a whole other topic that we could get into, but
totally. And we don't got access to the books.
But they're gone now. And look what the Dodgers are doing with Ohtani and marketing him, and how just baseball was obviously jizzing over Ohtani for 5 years, but it's you can just tell the Dodgers know what they're doing with
Jesse,
the product they
the
have.
The difference between treating your product like a premium service product, whatever, and not, you know what I mean? Like there's a lot of amazing historic franchises in baseball, but there's a lot more that are kind of like, oh, I'm glad I'm not a fan of that team, than there are of like, oh man, like we got a shot this year or next year or the year. It's just a bummer because I love this game, dude. And there's so many stars, and like this offseason was so weird, and so many veterans just kind of getting left in limbo. And, you know, we had eyes on the Boris Ford and Shohei and Yamamoto and these, you know, other stars all season, but there's a whole cache of veterans just kind of getting shooed out because what you can just manipulate service time or pay guys league minimum, or I don't know. It's a little
suspicious that
collusion,
like everybody got. Yeah. Right. It's a little suspicious that a lot like Kike and all these guys, they all got like this 1 year, $4 million deal. Like everybody got the same one, but anyways, We've run a little long. We're going to talk about, we're going to get into way more. But yeah, Brandon,
this is just the tip of the iceberg. You know, these are the stories we're going to follow and continue to monitor, but there are a ton more threads down the line. And, you know, just like a delicious thing of licorice, we're going to just be pulling those threads apart, and we're going to be nibbling on them. We'll
this
feed
is
you
a
some.
Tasty
it's
morsel,
delicious.
Dude. Yeah,
it's
dude.
good. If
it's
it
just an
feels
appetizer.
Good, it is good. Yeah, let's
absolutely.
Go.
Well, I am excited. Let us know in the comments what team you're rooting for. What are your picks for the season? Your sleeper picks? Your like, I don't know what your storyline is for the year. Let us know
exactly. What do
what
you
do
got
you
going on? What did we miss? What's in the pipeline for your favorite team? And what do I need to get my eyes on? You know, what do we need to get our eyes on? You
Has
tell
a coworker
us.
Asked you to have a beer? You know, like let us know in the comments.
Has it gone good? Has it gone bad?
Yeah.
Who knows? Let me know.